Hey, it's Aaron Hogan, Genesis Driver, encouraging you to experience the difference between ordinary and extraordinary by discovering the Genesis GV70. That Genesis of Round Rock, bold design, advanced technology, and refined power redefines what modern luxury should feel like. And this month, you can enjoy low APR financing. How about 1.99% APR for up to 48 months on select 2026 Genesis GV70 models? Go see them at Genesis of Round Rock, 2201 North May Street, or explore your options online at genesisofroundrock.com. Luxury never looks so good. Welcome to Genesis.
From the 102.7 ESPN studios in Austin, Texas, this is the Jeff and Ed Show.
Welcome back, everybody. Glad you're with us on this hot, hot Monday afternoon here in Austin, Texas. I am excited about football. Ed Clement's here. Jeff will be back on Thursday. My buddy Kyle Owen is with us all week long to talk with sports. As Kyle is the executive producer of our Saturday shows on KLBJ, the Sports Saturday. A great follower of sports, loves college football, loves pro football. Glad you're with us on this Monday afternoon. Man, oh man, it's fixing to hit. Cowboys training camp, all other NFL training camps. Patriots got to town, got to their training camp today. A.J. Brown, the newest member of the Patriots, dropped his first pass. Did you see that story?
No, I did not.
And Mike Vrabel got on him big time. But he says he did it out of a place of love, and A.J. Brown said he did it out of a place of love today. But training camp is underway. I can't wait. Can't wait for Longhorn camp to begin in a few weeks.
I think I read this is the last Sunday without football for the rest of the year.
Yes. Yes.
Obviously preseason, but
yeah,
still.
Yeah. Are you like, you know, Ben and Ferris and I, my sons, when the last Super Bowl, we all kind of went, oh no, because I like the NBA. I love to watch the Spurs and the Rockets and the Mavericks. Don't follow it as passionate. And I'm not into the Spring Football League, even though I watch because my buddy from Brownwood, Matthew McCrane, had the first 4-point field goal in the history of that league. But are you the same way? You kind of go, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm not really big into basketball. My winter sport is hockey. I love hockey and
really?
Watching the Dallas Stars.
Really?
So that kind of holds me over until baseball season gets into full swing. But for the most part, yeah, I mean, there's nothing better than football. College football for me is premier, yeah. And then obviously the NFL is the NFL, and you can't go wrong with that.
Kyle, I feel the same way. College football is it for me. I do, you know, I do love NFL, but I, you know, being here in Austin and being around Longhorn Sports as long as I am, I love the college football scene. And I just, you know, when that final college football game, and see, the thing is about the dang college football playoffs, it ends to me, it shouldn't end on a Monday night, A. It shouldn't end on a Monday. It should be a weekend. You know, go against the NFL. I don't care. Go against the NFL. But it shouldn't end up on Monday. But I'm, you know, when that last game last year, you kind of go, oh boy, you know, it is all over. But it's right around the corner. Among the things we've talked about already today, from the NFL, Kyle Shanahan recovering from his terrible accident. Last week, it was a strange story when he got injured in a car wreck, I believe, last Tuesday, and nobody knew about it. And story didn't break until last Friday evening, and he had a broken nose, broken wrist, 3 broken ribs, and 40 stitches in his face, and he's on a concussion protocol. He's on a concussion protocol. Also, we talked about the really sad story about Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy is the offensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. I know Andy Reid calls the plays, and he's on the headset, but Bieniemy has been a key part of Kansas City. He's back with the Chiefs now as offensive coordinator, and sadly, last night, his wife, Mia, was shot at their home in Virginia, and apparently, allegedly shot by one of their sons, their 27-year-old son, who is now in custody in Virginia. Eric Bieniemy left practice spring training in St. Joe's, Missouri, and he's back with his wife and family in Virginia. Terrible situation. Is the son who allegedly shot his wife was a athlete, and I don't know if he was living at their home or just was around the home. And their other son, Eric Jr., is severely disabled. in a wheelchair, and just a tough situation. But we heard a cut from Andy Reid early saying that she was a wonderful person. Mia is a wonderful person. It appears she's going to be okay, but just sad for Eric Bieniemy. We also talked about the Colts quarterback, Daniel Jones, coming back. We talked about the NFL payout, $450 million to every team. Wow. And compared that to some college football playoffs, payouts. Also, Kyle found a story today from Fortune.com. And the headline, I'll just read you the headline, we'll comment about it. Gambling becomes America's favorite pastime as Americans spend more on sports bets than they do on movies, arts, museums, and music combined. Sports betting generates more than those other industries combined. I was shocked when you turned me on to the story at Fortune.com.
Yeah, I was reading it, and it's, I think it said that, I mean, just like between, you know, pretty much every other pastime, the combined amount was only like 40-something billion dollars, which is almost a third of what the people are spending on legal sports betting.
Mm-hmm.
They're estimating that behind, you know, the non-legal stuff in some of the prediction markets, it's upwards of $300 billion that is actually being spent on sports betting, which is absolutely insane.
I know we have it's screwy in Texas because we have limited because of our legislators who are, you know, onward Christian soldiers marching off to war, work of the devil guys. We're behind the curve, but we still have like
underdog fantasy.
I'm going to be endorsing another one this fall, but we have those, the fantasy, kind of like the Kalshi type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike other states where you can out bet on games. You can't bet on games in Texas.
Yeah, it's interesting that, you know, especially with Texas being such a, you know, a state that people don't want high taxes and all this, the fact that we're not taking advantage of pulling the taxes from the betting, like from betting in general,
sure,
whether it be sports betting or just gambling in general, all of that money is going to Lake Charles or Oklahoma,
exactly,
or wherever else, instead of staying home, where this, that could be, you know, a massive pool for education.
Oh my gosh,
for roads,
for everything,
anything,
for mental health in this state,
for anything.
It could be, and I just hope, you know, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick takes a look at this. Speaker Justin Burroughs, and Justin Burroughs is a big college sports fan. He's a tech guy. Matter of fact, he was on Brendan Sorsby's legal team on this deal trying to get him eligible, so he loves Texas Tech football. I wish they would take a look at this and say, listen, I know there are going to be people falling through the cracks with sports gambling, like the Brendan Sorsby, who did it illegally, underage, assumed names, his friends' names. He did it all wrong. But there are millions of people who do it the right way, who do it responsibly. And Kyle, you hit the nail on the head. The tax revenue that the state of Texas is losing is so big. And don't give me this, you know, this work of the devil stuff, and it leads to whatever. You're going to have a few people fall through the cracks. But for the most part, alcohol is legal. If you're such an onward Christian soldier guy, are you going to ban alcohol? No, you're not about to do that. Think of the tax revenue there. But think of the tax revenue if online sports gambling was legal, on your phone, on your computer. It's not going to a casino. It's not doing that, even though I wish they would have casinos in this state, because you're right, we're losing out to all other states. But something online on your phone, that's easy, it's efficient.
Be regulated.
Highly regulated, and they ward out the cheats, as Jeff and I have talked about, and you've heard this. They can spot the cheats. They can spot the abnormal activities.
They don't want to have to deal with the legal ramifications of somebody doing it the wrong way.
It was that they're the ones who outed Sorsby.
Yeah.
Because of his goofball gambling on strikes and balls and strikes and everything. So I wish they would get the message at the Capitol that we're all not going to hell in a handbasket if you endorse online gambling.
And at the end of the day, it's a personal decision to do something like
right.
that. Personally, like I don't sports bet. Like my best friend, he sports bets, he has a bookie, he does, you know, all sorts of things. And, you know, more power to him. Personally, I don't bet on sports mm-hmm. because I don't see the need
the thrill
to,
or
to,
something
to put
yeah.
the money on it.
Yeah.
It's just not something that I enjoy. But at the end of the day, if somebody wants to do something, that's up to them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not allowing somebody to do something they want to do, I think it just there's no point in holding like putting their hands in cuffs just for what you think is a moral calm or whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's just I don't understand why, you know, the state of Texas won't allow people to do what, you know, people want to do, which is
right.
what Texas, a lot of people in Texas pride themselves on being an independent state, independent.
We think for ourselves.
Unity. Like we all do what we want to do.
Right.
And the fact that we have laws that don't allow us or some people to do what they want to do is just contradictory to what I believe the state of Texas is about.
I think you're spot on that. Because I've been on Underdog, endorsed them last year. I've done a few of those little stuff. When I lived in Midland, when I was fresh out of college, I had a bookie in Midland, and I'd bet on college football and pro football. Fun, didn't get any trouble, but yeah. it was fun. When I moved to Austin, and that's been 30 plus years. I don't have a bookie here. I don't bet anymore on that. When I go to Las Vegas, I think it's great fun to go to the sports book.
Yeah.
And this year when I went the week of the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I bet on Seattle and won. I bet on the Ben Clements and Jeff Ward favorite prop bet, which is over 3 field goals, won on that. And I won on a Longhorn basketball game that week when there was a home game. I forgot who it was against, but they were favored by 6.5 and they were down most of the game and they had a late run where they won by 7. Great fun. It's yeah. fun. Don't get hurt. Don't get hurt. And it's okay to do that. You think of what Mattress Mack does every Super Bowl. Gets on his helicopter and goes to Louisiana.
Yeah.
Parks that son of a gun, and I guess he makes it off the phone, or he'll even go to a casino and make big bets on the Super Bowl. And that's tax revenue to somebody else.
Yep, yep.
Not the state of Texas. And again, I don't want to harp on Dan Patrick and those guys over there. I know they think, which I disagree with, but, well, I can't disagree with it because they win their elections in the Republican primary dominated by right-wing people, a lot of old people who don't believe in gambling or drinking or marijuana or anything like that. So that's where they win it. But, yeah, I think gambling... And hopefully, this, again, online gambling, if you don't want to have casinos, okay, even though I think your arguments are specious about, oh, prostitution and, you know, heroin addiction on the streets of wherever. No. Responsible people go to casinos. So,
yeah.
But I do think the online gambling, and I'm sure it will be brought up again by a brave legislator, but it's going to take a brave legislative leader. It's going to take a brave governor or a brave lieutenant governor or speaker to say, I'm for it this year. Let's pass it. And you know what? All those people who voted against, and look, I'm just looking at the Rangers today. Mariners played at Rangers. You know who's on the outfield wall? There's Budweiser and there's Choctaw Gambling Casino.
Yep.
In Oklahoma.
Yeah.
That's at the Rangers game.
Yeah, the, what's it, I think the Stars, the official partner for the Stars as well is the Choctaw Casinos and Windstar and all
Windstar,
that stuff like that.
Windstar's and, in the, Windstar's Texas.
Yeah.
University of Texas.
The amount of money that is spent by the two big casinos in southern Oklahoma in DFW for advertising is absolutely insane.
Yeah.
And that's all money that could be staying home. And like, I don't understand it. You know, at the end of the day, it's people are going to find a way to do it anyways. So you might as well make it legal so that you can regulate it and allow people to do it the right way
rather than going
under the table or behind the state's back or out of state paying
right.
somebody else to do it or whatever.
Right.
Like at the end of the day, it's just people are going to do what they want to do. And if you have the means to let them do it the right way, it will create a better and more safer environment to be able to have people want to do it or be able to spend their money the way they want to spend it.
And if you're worried about your favorite Aggie or favorite Longhorn or favorite whatever gambling on their own team, they're going to get caught.
Yeah.
They're going to get outed.
Mm-hmm.
And the NCAA was firm and hard and strong with Sorsby. No more. You caught gambling on your own team with the information, you're out of there. For good. NCAA got it right with Brendan Sorsby. Texas got it wrong trying to milk their way back in with Sorsby, but we'll take care of that. And what was the headline? Once again, we're talking about from Fortune. Read the headline.
Gambling becomes America's pastime as Americans spend more on sports bets than movies, arts, museums, and music combined.
Hmm.
Almost triple the amount of money, and that's above the book money. Going to sports betting.
I wonder how that is in Austin, because people spend a lot of money on music in this town.
Yeah.
Saxon Pub, Continental Club.
Sports betting's huge in this town. It's just all under the table.
All under the table. Before we go to break at 5:30, I want to bring you up to date with this situation in North Carolina. Mm-hmm. As we all know, North Carolina, I guess about a year and a half ago, fired Mac Brown and hired Bill Belichick to be their head coach, and nothing has gone right. Belichick brought baby love there, his 24-year-old girlfriend. They went 4-8 last year, and they were lousy. And now North Carolina football general manager Michael Lombardi, a top aide to Coach Bill Belichick, has been placed on paid administrative leave by the university. The university announced today that Lombardi's leave is effective immediately, but did not disclose any details. Tar Heels opened their second season under Belichick in just under 5 weeks on August 29th against TCU in Dublin, Sonny Dykes' team, who handled them easily last year. The school's decision stems from a human resources complaint filed by a former UNC front office employee, a source told ESPN's Pete Thamel. Pending investigation into the matter, according to the source. Lombardi joined Belichick at UNC in December 2024, reuniting with the six-time Super Bowl winning coach. He's the general manager of that team. He is the money man.
And was quickly paid the highest of any of the GMs in college football.
He goes and finds the talent. He doles out the cash. He, along with Belichick, raises the money. But he has been controversial from the start because he called their program the 33rd NFL team. We're the 33rd NFL team. And I've heard him on TV before. He took this job, and he was very well informed, but he can be slightly jerkish. As this past September, he informed the Patriots that their scouts would be banned from access to the Tar Heel football program. As I said, UNC went 4-8. Guess how many NFL draft picks they had this year?
Zero.
None. Nada. Zilch.
So they didn't even need to be there.
No, they did not need to be there, so it's going to be interesting. I think this experiment is going to blow up on them again. I don't think they're going to win more than four games again. And listen, I'm a big Sonny Dykes fan. I think TCU is going to wallop them in Dublin in a few weeks. I may be wrong, sometimes wrong, but I just see the writing on the wall for Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick should be in the NFL.
Yeah.
I don't know why he's been blackballed so severely by the NFL. I know he had the wrath of Brady. He had the wrath of Bobby Kraft for a while. I think all three parties have, repaired damage. But you're telling me that some of these people coaching NFL teams, like for the Cardinals and for other teams, I'm not going to malign the Jets coach because I like his brother, I like his family. But you're telling me that some of these guys are better than Bill Belichick, who won seven Super Bowls? No.
Yeah.
It's just baggage.
There's no point to not want somebody who's won that many Super Bowls to even be a part of your team.
Correct.
Like, obviously, there's something that went right there. Obviously, a Tom Brady was a lot of it. But at the end of the day, Tom Brady isn't the only player on the team. He doesn't create the scheme. He doesn't run the defense. That was Bill Belichick's job, and he did a good job of doing it, and obviously was able to win games and win Super Bowls. So he knows what he's doing, and the fact that the NFL has completely blackballed him, like you said, is just, it's absurd, because he deserves a job probably more than most of the coaches by any stretch of the means, but there are a lot of coaches out there. He definitely deserves a job over them.
Watch this Lombardi deal, because he's suspended on paid administrative leave right now. And as Kyle said, he's highly paid. But if he loses his job, that's going to be the first thing to fall, because I think it's going to, first of all, Belichick must be absolutely furious with the university. He should be furious if this allegation of some type of indiscretion with employees wrong. I'm not sure what that involves, but he's got to be furious because he's his right-hand man. Mm-hmm. He's the guy that's right there that says, Bill, we want to get this guy. We need this guy. We need $350,000. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And North Carolina opened the bank for Belichick with facilities and money. And what did it get him last year? 4-8. This is pivotal. I know they're looking to win 8 games, get relevant again. I don't think it's going to happen. But just watch this closely, because if they fire Michael Lombardi as GM of North Carolina football, Belichick is going to say, maybe this is not what I wanted to buy into.
Yeah, it's starting to tarnish his reputation and his legacy. Yeah. So something needs to happen favorably for him before people just start completely disregarding his past in general. I mean, it's going to be hard to disregard with the amount of Super Bowls that he's won. He's the fact that he's the second all-time winningest coach of all time. But the people, when they look back at Bill Belichick, they're going to think about his later years and the drama that he was caused with Jordan and the failure of his tenure at UNC, if that's the way it goes. And so it's difficult to think that, you know, one of the greatest coaches of all time is just absolutely put himself into a hole like this at the end of his career.
You're familiar with the American Athletic Conference.
Correct.
Texas State used to be a member. Now they're
back. No, they've never been.
They've never been?
No.
UTSA, pardon me.
UTSA and North Texas are,
UTSA and North Texas, pardon me. But the Texas schools, including Army, Charlotte, East Carolina, Florida Atlantic, Memphis, Navy, North Texas, Rice, South Florida, Temple, Tulane, Tulsa, be in UTSA. Heard today, I think it was on the College Sports Network, they're all conference selections, Kyle, from last year. All conference football, the American Conference. And they play a pretty good brand of football there. Pretty good brand. Not great, but pretty good. 76% of those players on the all-conference team, goodbye and good luck. They transferred, got in the portal, and got the money and went to Power Four conferences. That shows the direction we're going in college football. I know a lot of the smaller schools like the UTSA and our friends at Texas State and all over the country are saying, listen, we want a big piece of the pie. We want to play for the big prize. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen with the money situation. 76% of all conference players, the cream of the crop in the American Athletic Conference, transferred to Power Four conferences.
Yeah, and a lot of the coaches, they're saying that most of these guys are consistently being tampered with throughout the season. Agents or whoever texting them, calling them, being like, hey, we can get you this money there, we can get you this money here. And at the end of the day, it's, you can't, they can't afford to pay what the big boys pay. And so as long as somebody's going to offer them a higher dollar mark, those guys are just going to get up and run. Of course, unless, you know, there's some sort of loyalty. But these days, this day and age, it's they're all mercenaries trying to get their dollar. So it's going to be difficult to find guys that want to stay a part of programs like that. Obviously, Texas State has found a good guy in Brad Jackson to keep around.
Sure.
He's wanted to stay. Owen McCown down in San Antonio with UTSA, he's stuck around for 3-4 years now with UTSA. And so you will find guys here and there that would rather play for a team and win, you know, the conference championships and be at the top of their level of football, rather than go and find, you know, money elsewhere and maybe even sit on a bench or play on a, you know, play on a P5 team, but not a very good P5 team or whatever. They'd rather do it.
Right.
They'd rather stay with it, what they committed to out of high school and believes is the right place to be.
It's what you want, because I think a lot of these kids are doing this because of two reasons: money and better exposure. saying that, I was, you know, I watched the Lone Star Conference when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. The Texas A&Is, the East Texas State, the Howard Paynes, Sol Ross, all the Angelo State, Southwest Texas, and a lot of those players went to the NFL.
Yeah.
Clint Longley, Wilbert Montgomery from Abilene Christian, they're both NFL players. And you, they would find you. They would find you. NFL would find players. So, but this is about money now, underline money now and exposure. And you look at what happened with North Texas State. Eric Morris became the head coach at Oklahoma State. He took everybody from North Texas, mm-hmm. which was really, really great last year.
Yeah.
And the quarterback from Vandergriff, who was superb, led the nation last night, last year in several. Yeah. He's gone. They're just taking the whole offense
that,
there.
That whole story is absolutely insane to me because he didn't play a single snap in high school football for Vandergriff as a quarterback. He was the holder. He was a backup. And so the fact that he was able to go on and start at a D1 school with no snaps underneath his belt in high school and become one of the top passers in the nation is crazy to me.
And this maybe it's not Hot Take Tuesday or Jeff Ward, Jack Astry. Watch out for Oklahoma State this year because they can score points. If those young men who played for North Texas can make that transition to a Power Four conference, playing the Houstons and Texas and the Utahs, yeah, and the Arizona State and the TCUs.
Obviously, this is an apples to apples with Cignetti going from James Madison to Indiana, but the fact that James Madison or Kurt Cignetti was able to take all basically his whole roster from James Madison and translate it into Big Ten winning football shows that it can be done. And if Eric Morris can do that with the North Texas team, like he is going up to Oklahoma State and taking the whole team with him, it'll be interesting to see if they can translate it a lot like Cignetti did from James Madison to Indiana.
And that's Drew Mestemaker we're talking about?
Yes, Drew Mestemaker.
The Vandergriff quarterback, mm-hmm. who's a red shirt sophomore, had a brilliant career.
His first game ever was against Texas State in a bowl game, and everybody was like, oh, this guy, like, oh, we're going to be able to, you know, roll right over him. He's a, you know, he's never played a snap of college or of football since he was, you know, in middle school, blah, 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 and then he comes out and absolutely lights up Texas State's defense. Texas State ends up winning the game, but it was a big wake-up call whenever Drew Mestemaker was able to do what he did against Texas State, and we knew the next year that was a guy you did not want to mess
but
with.
But that is flat-out terrific that this guy could do this, mm-hmm. and not start for Vandergriff, not be a featured player for Vandergriff, and then stick with it, gets a chance at North Texas. North Texas is under the radar, and then have great things happen last year. Then Kabumski, your head coach, and the coach is, you're making money, come on down, and you're playing in the Big 12. So, you know, good for Drew and good for Eric Morris. And Oklahoma State's going to be interesting to watch. Going to be interesting. I'm not saying they're going to win the conference. I think that's going to be more than likely Tech or Houston or Utah. TCU is maybe a dark horse in that, but going to be fun. All right, we're going to take a break. After this break, more on the Monday edition here, 1027 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 1027 ESPN.
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 102.7 ESPN.
Hey, welcome back to the show. I'm Ed Clements along with Kyle Owen. Jeff will be back later this week. Some breaking stories. One in college football, Michigan. Ward Manuel, the former AD at Michigan, who has been there under some really, really trying times. A lot of bad stuff happened under his watch. I don't know what you'd say would be the worst. Was it the Connor Stallions sign stealing by Jim Harbaugh's staff when their national championship year, when Harbaugh was suspended for a number of games and just shot the finger to the NCAA and the university? That was under Ward Manuel's watch. Harbaugh leaves, and Harbaugh says, Ward, hire Sherrod Moore, my offensive line coach, or whatever, he's a position coach. Hire him. And Ward said, okay, Jim, I'll hire him. Sharon Moore was an absolute disaster. Ended his reign as head coach at Michigan by having a relationship with an assistant. And then it got so ugly that everybody on campus knew about it. Ward Manuel knew about it. I think the only poor person that didn't know this was happening was Sharon Moore's wife, but it turned ugly, ugly, ugly. They got found out, and she said, yep, we're having an affair. And he went to her house and said, you've ruined my career. I'm going to kill myself. And he got a butter knife and threatened to kill himself with a butter knife. He went crazy. Needless to say, he was arrested. He got fired. He got a slap on the wrist. She's now suing for millions and millions, suing the athletic department because she said everybody knew and you didn't do a damn thing about it. You're not helping the victim here. So Michigan gets rid of Sharon Moore. They get Kyle Whittingham, a great hire. He's a great hire. That's a good thing. That's a really good thing. Michigan basketball team with Dusty May. They won the national title in basketball. He hired Dusty May, which was really good for that school. But did the good outweigh the bad? They pushed him, kicked him to the curb, Ward Manuel, but they really didn't kick him to the curb. It's been revealed today that old Ward, Michigan is going to pay him $7.1 million to leave. He gets football tickets and basketball tickets, sporting tickets to all the sports. He gets golf privileges. He gets this and he gets that. So he was pushed to the curb, kicked to the curb, but they're giving him $7 million in perks.
Like, wow. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, but no thank you. Thank you, we're glad, but no thank you. We really like you, thank you. But what a mess up there at Michigan.
Yeah, it's been a weird couple years for Michigan. I mean, and Dusty May now, national
he
championship,
yeah.
He's gone.
He's gone to Dallas. Yeah.
So it's Michigan, hopefully, you know, whoever comes in next can kind of right the ship.
Yeah.
Kyle Whittingham, I'm sure, is all well on his way to doing that with the football program. He's always been a stand-up guy. He's great at Utah. And I think that he knows how to run a program tooth and nail and will be able to get at least the football side of things in the right direction.
I think he's a great coach and a great individual, and he's perfect for what Michigan needs. Harbaugh, I've always liked Jim Harbaugh, cocky as the day is long. And now we know big-time cheater with Connor Stallions on his staff. And before the posse arrived to get him in Ann Arbor, he left for the Los Angeles Chargers. So he's just fine. And Dusty May left for the riches of the National Basketball Association. Thank goodness. And let me just say this for Chris Del Conte, and you can say this for your Aggie brethren. There have been no cataclysmic, terrible scandals at the University of Texas nor Texas A&M. That we apparently know about. We don't know about. There were some issues with Tom Herman that were not, they didn't reach the capacity of what happened at Michigan, to say the least. And nor did anything happen with the AD, previous AD to Del Conte. Well, the big one was DeLoss Dodds, who was the best in the business. So we've always had honorable.
Besides Chris Beard.
Chris Beard was an ugly situation.
Yeah.
That was really ugly, and they dealt with it rather swiftly.
Very much so.
And a lot of us out there think, could have kept him around, you know? Yeah. Knock him down about $1 million, suspend him for the year. But, yeah, he had to deal with that. But nothing real ugly, ugly. That's a good catch there. But nothing ugly, ugly, ugly. So that's what's happening with Ward Manuel. We're going to talk more about the Big Ten tomorrow. I want to talk about golf, and gosh, I feel free to talk golf. My friend Dan Lundquist, the brother of Vernon, said, you going to talk golf? I hear Jeff's gone. I said, yeah, we're going to talk golf. And we're going to talk golf right now because it was a very interesting day on the PGA Tours yesterday. Jackson Kovan won at the 3M. This guy turned pro 24 days before yesterday. He's from Auburn. He was the best player in college golf last year. Auburn was one of the best teams in the country. And Jackson Kovan has highly, high accolades as the best amateur out there because of the thing called PGA Tour U. If you get enough points, you get automatically to the PGA Tour. And he qualified automatically for the PGA Tour and didn't let any grass grow under his feet. Again, he'd been a pro for 24 days, and he won yesterday by 3 shots over the number one player in the world, Scottie Scheffler. Scottie Scheffler now has 5 runner-up finishes on the PGA Tour this year. He's won 1 tournament, but he's got 5 runner-ups. And we talk about it, as Kyle knows, we talk about it on our 15th Club Golf Show every week. And people always say, what's wrong with Scottie? What's wrong with Scottie? Well, not much is wrong with Scottie because he's had 5 runner-up position. I know he's used to winning, and needless to say, that's what he's out there for, to win. But if you feel sorry for Scottie, which I don't, he's going to start winning again. Scottie is number one in the PGA Tour for money. Kyle, guess how much money Scottie has won this year? Guess how much money Scottie's won. Now, this is money from the purses on the PGA Tour, not all his riches from endorsements and all that stuff. Prize money.
Let's go $100 million.
$100 million? $100 million?
This year?
This year.
Oh.
This year only.
22.
Well, you're a little high. He's won $17 million. $16,991. $17 million with 1 win, 5 runner-ups. He's going to take a little while off, and he's going to start preparing for this Mickey Mouse-ass golf playoffs they have in the PGA Tour. PGA Tour is shooting themselves in the foot because the majors ended. The majors ended last week with the British Open. Also, a great story in golf news, Tommy Morrison, the former Longhorn who graduated, had his final year this year, frequent guest on our 15th Cub Golf Show. How many times have we bought him cheeseburgers and beer? He's now on the Corn Ferry Tour, the second tour, and he has been lighting it up. Great finishes, and yesterday he won a tournament in Chicago on the Corn Ferry Tour. He won his first tournament, pocketed, I believe, $180,000, and he is in unbelievably great position to be one of the top 20 players from the Corn Ferry Tour to get his card. So congratulations to Tommy. I've reached out to Tommy to try to get him on the show later this week. But a nice young guy, friend of the show.
Did he go about like 8 feet tall?
He's about 8 feet tall. Yeah, he's 6'8". He's the tallest golfer in golf now. But just one of the nicest guys, too. But he has been lighting it up. He had a high finish in Amarillo, had a high finish of one other spot, and he won yesterday. Also, Luke Potter, who's a member of the Three Amigos, Tommy, Luke, and Christian Moss, had a fourth-place finish, and Christian Moss finished in the top 25. Cole Hammer, former Longhorn, had a top 30 finish as well. So good things for former Longhorns on the Corn Ferry Tour and the PGA Tour. Also, this will make you feel old before we go to break. Happy birthday today to Jordan Spieth. How old is Jordan Spieth today? He's 33 years old. Jordan Spieth is 33. I remember hearing about Jordan Spieth from John Fields, the head coach of the Longhorns, when he was 12. Oh, Ed, this guy's good. I said, he's 12. Oh, he's going to be really good. We're recruiting him. I said, he's 12. He said, we got to get him. And John Fields got Jordan Spieth, and the rest is history with a national championship. And the majors that Jordan Spieth won early on, he's been on a little bit of a downer. Hopefully he'll come back up next season. But happy 33rd birthday to our great friend Jordan Spieth. I played 3 holes with him one time at Barton Creek, the Foothills Golf Course, when he was in college. They kind of came behind me and they said, can we play with you? Or play, I think they said, can we play through you, Mr. Clemens? I said, oh, I'll play a couple holes with you. So I played a few holes with Jordan and some of the guys on the golf team. So that was a lot of fun. Good young man. Okay, we've got an update on Kyle Shanahan. We're going to hear about that. We're going to take a break first, but another update on the San Francisco head football coach who was involved in a terrible traffic accident last week. More insight from Chris Sins coming up after this on 102.7 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements, afternoons 4 to 6 on 102.7 ESPN.
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by N Family Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Jeff and Ed Show on 1027 ESPN.
Back on the show, Trey Elling coming up next just after 6 o'clock here on 1027 ESPN. Talking about a lot of things. We gave you the update about Eric Bieniemy's wife. She's still hospitalized in Virginia. Bieniemy's and Mia, that's his wife's name. Their 27-year-old son is arrested, charged with her shooting. Terrible situation, but looks like she's going to be okay. Also, the Kyle Shanahan situation, injured in a car wreck last week. Story was late breaking and late coming out days later. And as we mentioned, Kyle, of course, is a former Longhorn wide receiver. His roommate was Chris Sims, who's now a broadcaster up in New York, who had a brief NFL stay. Chris Sims on Pro Football Talk updated what he knew about the injuries to Kyle Shanahan earlier this afternoon.
It was scary. There's no doubt about that. It was scary. You know how close I am to him and his wife, Mandy, and how great of friends they are. And, of course, we were in the south of France just a month ago and having a great time together. But, yeah, all of a sudden one day I get a text from Kyle's wife, Mandy. She texts myself and my wife. And it's like, oh, no, Kyle's been a part of some horrible accident. And she sent us some pictures right off the bat. And it was like, oh my gosh. Like, so just to let you know, paint the picture. You've seen the injury report, the broken ribs, 40 stitches in the face, the broken nose, broken left hand, of course the bad concussion. But when you first see it and it's fresh and some of the cuts are still wide open, I mean, it's jarring. It's jarring. He was this close to maybe losing his right eye, right? The scar is so big right here. And so all that stuff was just, crazy to see. And of course, I'm, you know, thinking of my friend, but yeah, it's tough. And he's still battling with this concussion. And
that was earlier today. Chris Sims, on Pro Football Talk, talking about his former roommate, said they vacationed in the south of France. So, man, oh, man, severe. He's lucky. Almost lost his eye. Lucky. So he's going to be out a while. He won't be involved with training camp for a while because he's under concussion stuff and just terrible, terrible, terrible. Okay, that's going to wrap it up for today's show. Our friend Trey Elling's coming up next here on 1027 ESPN. Kyle, it's been a lot of fun. We'll do it tomorrow and talk a lot of Big Ten football tomorrow and much, much more. Here on 1027 ESPN.
Jeff Ward and Ed Clements. Afternoons 4 to 6 on 1027 ESPN.